Welcome to Tuesday's edition of Community Life in Northeast Georgia. I'm Candace Felice. To begin today's program, renowned Native artist and poet Tracy Schmidt shares how her artistry is an intimate melding of the sacred and the sublime of nature's beauty.
Sitting on the porch in lovely Hall County, I'm talking with Tracy Schmidt. Tracy is a renowned artist and poetry writer. Her collaborations are basically with Mother Earth. Is that a good description, Tracy?
I love that combination of combining the spiritual world and the physical world and having them be happy together and be married together rather than duking it out together, which I think I grew up thinking the spiritual world and the physical worlds were not good partners. And it was when I started working with Native people in my late 20s that I realized that I didn't have to live my life that way and that there was another perspective that really brought them together. And so that really began my understanding of that.
Tracy, when did your art jettison you into understanding the connection with being American and with Native American culture?
It was actually when I went outside of America. I was fortunate to start traveling with my parents when I was a teenager. And every time I came back to America, I was always really aware that we were missing some kind of tradition and some kind of groundedness that seemed present in other cultures, that seemed like, in some cases, it held them back from change and from evolution, but in some ways, it created a foundation that helped them to remember who they were and to help them have an everyday connection to the earth. And I saw that we had missed that. We had lost that. And I just started asking the question, where did it go and why did we miss it and how could we get it back? And so I really thought about that for a number of years. And when I was about 21 or 22, it suddenly hit me that we were sitting on a country that the indigenous people had that understanding. And that had we just taken the time and been humble enough to say, hey, we're interested in this guy named Jesus. What are you interested in? Tell us about what you're interested in. And really made that more of a sharing, the way you do that with a friend, rather than making that we are better than them and therefore not listening to what they had to bring to the table. I think we would be living in a slightly different country today. And as much as I love, you know, America, I really think had we just taken the time to listen and to integrate that knowledge into our lives, we would be a better example for people today. And Native people, as you know, because you've been to Native reservations, Native people today are deeply ensconced in a struggle to find themselves worthy. And I find that a great tragedy, that this culture, which was so beautiful and had so much to offer, looks upon itself as a abused woman who has forgotten that they're beautiful, forgotten that they have something to say, and that what they have to say is of worth. And that, for me, just seemed wrong. And so I thought to myself, this is one small thing I can do to cast some light on the beauty of a culture that I feel like has never really gotten its due, and to help us as non-Native people see that beauty in that culture that I felt very kind of acutely aware of.
What did it open up to you, not only from a spiritual sense, but in a metamorphosis, because your art really took on a different light once you started in this direction?
I think one of the things that I noticed as an artist is I started to look at my artwork that I was doing for this Native American project, and I started to notice that the photographs were beautiful. And I thought, well, now what is that about? Why make them beautiful? A lot of the, you know, because the artwork at that time in the early 90s was not necessarily what you would call beautiful art. It was very stark. It was very cold. The artwork that was happening at Georgia State, where I had been studying, was all about hard flash light on hard subjects and showing things that were kind of shocking and controversial. And that was the opposite of what I was doing. So I questioned that. And I was talking to someone in Georgia one day. They were talking about a culture they had grown up with that they did not love. They're talking about a race of people. And they said they were talking about how this race of people to them was not beautiful. And I thought, now, isn't that interesting that they're talking about this particular race of people as not beautiful? Because I think not only are they beautiful, but when you meet particularly a woman in that race that's beautiful, it's like meeting a queen. She has this regalness that's unique to that culture. And I stopped and I reflected on what would happen if this woman could see that particular race of people she was talking about as beautiful. What would happen to her? And suddenly I understood the power of the word beauty, in that, as Johann Goethe, the father of the German Romantic period in literature, said, beauty is a welcome guest anywhere. And I just thought that it has the power to open hearts, it has the power to connect people, it has the power to open people's eyes and somehow allow them to see what is good there rather than what is bad. And so I kind of gave myself permission to work with beauty as a photographer. And I think that might have been one of the biggest transformations as an artist that I experienced.
I'm speaking with Tracy Schmidt, renowned Native artist. I'll be back in a moment.
Because we want to keep you informed, each Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m., Community Life in Northeast Georgia brings you cultural affairs and topics that shape the world around you.
Tracy, you describe art and nature and life in such ease. If you were to define Tracy Schmidt, what would that definition be?
Okay, could you ask a smaller question? I guess I feel like my mission in life, if you can look at it that way, my purpose in life, is to really drop the struggle between the spiritual world and the physical world. I think it's one we all go on for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And as an artist or as a person who has the opportunity to share those kinds of things with people, I feel a real draw towards art which inspires people and towards art which unites people rather than separates people. Being raised in the South in a conservative town, I was acutely aware of how much separateness there was in the world and how that continues. You know, half the world currently is under dictatorship or communist rule, and that for me is a difficult thing to think about. So I guess I feel like if any art I can create can help people to understand each other better or understand themselves better or to reconcile something in their lives that's priorly been unreconcilable, whatever that is, then it's like I've done my job.
What was a project that absolutely took your breath away to the point where you really were left with no words to express the magnitude of such an experience, where your art captured not only what is human, but what is sacred?
I have definitely a number of times witnessed both my art and the art of other people that where I would just start weeping because I would be so touched by what was created there. I remember the first time I saw the Pre-Raphaelite paintings of England. I was in Tate Gallery in London. I didn't know there was a collection. I had seen some of that work before. I didn't know it was from a collection. I literally had to sit down and just start crying because I couldn't take in the beauty of it all and how wondrous it was. And I was at the Leonardo da Vinci exhibit yesterday at the High Museum. I had a similar moment where I had to sit down because I was so acutely aware that I was in the presence of genius and how lucky I was to look at those things that he had touched. I think one of the things I've been thinking about lately, because so many of the really great poets in the world, they've also suffered a lot. And that's sort of known in the great poet circles that the great poets have suffered. Antonio Machado, Rumi, for example, Hafez, for example, Van Gogh obviously suffered a lot. And so I've been thinking about that, how your heart breaking open in the world somehow allows you to connect more deeply. And I've written a number of poems about that, about what happens when your heart breaks open. And in fact, I had an interesting experience with a Native American elder, a lovely woman named Amy Walker, who is an herbalist, and she's half Lakota, half Cherokee. I just think of her as a rock for her community, and I admire her so much. Farms acres and acres of land in her 60s after a serious bout with cancer. You know, just nothing stops her. And one day, she invited me to a sweat lodge, and I was already at the point, you know, sweat lodges, They're so about just creating a sense of humility in your life where you sort of finally get to the point where you ask God to help you. It's what it's designed to do. And so I was already at that point. I was laying on the ground. I think we were in our second round. And I was already in praying, asking for some help to get through it. And she brought a rock in. We were going into the third round. The flap was open and she was bringing some rocks in to lay on the fire. And a rock that was shaped somewhat like a heart sort of just cracked up into the middle of the whole thing. And she stopped the ceremony and she looked around and she said that rock broke open for someone in this room. And I knew, I couldn't even speak. I was so in a place of surrender, but I knew that rock had broken open for me. It immediately came to me, your heart really has to break open in order to receive the world. And there's a very beautiful Jewish story where the rabbi says to a student, God has written the sacred words on our heart. And the man says to the rabbi, why does he write them on our heart? Why does he not write them in our heart? And the rabbi says, your heart has to break open in order for the words to fall in. And so a lot of my poetry is about that letting your heart break open and that suffering. And I think Native people were part of that for me because I saw so much suffering going on and I saw so much great healing and determination come out of that suffering.
Tracy, you've had so many wonderful experiences. You've left yourself open to truth. You've left yourself open to love. You've left yourself open to experiencing being present in the moment. What word comes to mind to you that defines courage?
You know, for me, I don't know how it is for other people, but for me, that word is trust. I was raised, like most people, to not trust my intuition. And for me, trusting my intuition, it's made all the difference in the world. I feel like you cannot live an authentic life without having an intuition and having a relationship to it, particularly as women. It's really what I think defines women from men, is that we tend to be a little more intuitive, and our culture, it's changing. I think it's becoming more acceptable, but in the past, I don't think we as women would normally bring that into a board meeting, for example. We would be ridiculed for that, and I think today we are starting to recognize the importance of listening to that, of honoring it, of trusting it, you know, really walking with that trust in our lives.
I've been speaking with Tracy Schmidt, renowned Native artist and poetry writer. Tracy, it's been a privilege sitting here rocking with you and talking about the wonderful way in which you've contributed to bringing not only an awareness of Native peoples, but an awareness of American culture.
Thank you, Candace. It's been a pleasure. You asked great questions. I really appreciated it.
To obtain more information on the Awakening of Turtle Island Portraits of Native Americans, go to TracySchmidt.com.